Tonight we're in Liverpool. Welcome to Question Time.
Thank you, and welcome to this special edition of our Alumni Question Time. I'm going to introduce our alumni, which is just Latin for people who have been here before, said more elegantly in Latin. I could have been a judge, but I didn't have the Latin, as they say, or as Peter Cook said. And we have five distinguished ex-students, graduands, to talk to you this afternoon and to give you the real story about what it's like when you finish this fabulous degree or degrees. As I forgot to do this last year, before I get going though properly, I just want to thank the people who have put together this whole production, because what you see now is just the tip of the iceberg. Of course, there's been a whole raft of commissioning editors, executive producers, location finders, key grip, best boy, gaffer and so on. And so big round of applause for Steve Harrison, who's also technical operator, and to Kate Heathman, who's been running our Liverpool office of this independent production company. Well, welcome to our guests, and I will just say also, first of all, that the most precious commodity and inelastic thing that we have in our lives is time. Whether you're Bill Gates or the guy busking on Bold Street, we only ever have 24 hours in a day and 7 days a week, and they have given their time to come here, taken out of their very busy, hectic media lives to come and talk to you. So just to, I think, register our applause for the start, for thanking them for coming along this afternoon, taking the time to come from that London. Now I'm going to introduce them from my right and therefore your left. So Angie Brooks, after graduating from LJMU, Angie started work as the online reporter for the Surrey Advertiser in 2012. This included covering the Queen's Jubilee, Olympic cycle races, Tour of Britain, all of which came through Surrey, as well as general news, court, etc., in her patch of East Surrey. From there, she moved back north to Chester in 2013, where she worked as website editor for a cycling company. This involved updating their website, and after doing so much work on the cycle races in Surrey, she says it was lovely to have been offered the position. During this time, she was running her pet blog for fun on the side, covering events such as Crufts as press, and it was getting around 30,000 hits a month. She saw a gap in the market for an all-pet lifestyle magazine with a focus on pet rescue and responsible ownership, and took the leap and set up her own business with her soon-to-be husband, Ed, she says, and she says she loves saying that. And they launched Life with Pets magazine in October 2013. From December 13, it was in every Pets at Home store in the UK. From the start of this year, it's now in every Dobby's garden centre. And in the new year, 2016, they're hoping to launch an app and be sold by Sainsbury's. She says it's very exciting but very hard work and hasn't had a day off in the first year. But she can't complain as she gets to work from home in her PJs with her guinea pigs. That's Angie. Well, here's somebody who some might say needs no introduction. Next is Sam Fleet, but we're going to give him an introduction. Now, what's the name of your co-host on your programme that you do on BBC Shropshire? Can you remember the name?
His name's Jolyn.
Are you sure about that? Say it again.
Jolyn.
Let's just hear.
It is the big show.
You know, and the big show is Sam and Jolyn.
Right.
What?
Okay. What? Sorry. I've got to ask. Okay.
Sorry, what?
What is this?
BBC introducing with Sam and Jolyn.
Like,
I don't follow. I don't know what's different.
Well,
what's different?
I'm pretty sure my name isn't this.
BBC introducing with Sam and Jolyn.
But I can't.
That's changed. Nothing else has changed in here apart from a few buttons don't work.
Sam and Jolyn. It's always been Sam and Jolyn.
BBC introducing with Sam and Jolyn.
Right, okay.
That's how you say your name, isn't it?
No, because what? If you compare it to... Hang on a second. If we compare it to, like, say, this...
BBC introducing with Sam and Jolyn.
That is how you say my name.
They sound exactly the same. Sam and Jolyn.
Right. I'm now confused because I'm thinking...
That's how you say your name.
No, it's not. I need to know why this is... Right, I get the feeling I've missed something.
Well, that's how Post gets addressed to you. So, you know...
Post?
Sam and Jolyn? That's Jolyn. Jolyn Ken Walker.
Since
that's,
when do we
everybody
get
says it like that. I talked to your dad the other day and he said... You've been saying it wrong this whole time.
Why have you been talking to my dad?
Because of this. I've been saying your name wrong all this time.
Right, here's a bit of honey. I'm so confused. You've got to... Sam Fleet is a broadcast journalist, believe it or not, at BBC Shropshire. He did work experience there when he was still at LJMU, then went back after graduating to freelance there. At the same time, he was also freelancing for a production company called Hurricane Films, based on Hope Street here in Liverpool. Eventually, he got a small contract at BBC Shropshire. Is that just like really small print?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Okay. And started volunteering on the BBC Introducing Show, and you've just heard a highlight from that programme. They actually asked him to present it about 18 months ago and assemble a team, which has gone from strength to strength. He says if he could produce and present a music show full-time, he would. At the moment, he's producing shows on station and looking to get a staff contract elsewhere in the BBC. If not, take over from Chris Moyles, because he's struggling a bit on Radio X at the moment. Sam Fleet! Now, moving to my left, we have a brace of Kellys. First of all, we have Ellen Kelly. Ellen is currently director and co-founder at Avant PR, a fashion, beauty and entertainment PR agency based in Manchester. After graduating, she started out in the PR industry at Mason Williams, an agency based across London and Manchester, working across health, beauty, retail and hotel accounts. She then moved to a startup agency, Label PR, which specialised in fashion PR, where she was the first member of staff. And here she worked with a number of popular fashion brands and celebrities and worked her way up to account manager position before setting up her own agency, Avant PR, in 2013. Avant PR has a team of four and works across fashion and beauty clients, including In The Style clothing. There's also Ego Footwear, Pro Blow Hair Care, careful I said that, and Spectrum Makeup Brushes. They look after press and social media activity for the clients, securing them coverage in key national publications, as well as arranging events and celebrity collaborations for them. Stand by to be amazed. Most recently, they've worked with Geordie Shore's Charlotte Crosby, Towies, I think it stands for anyway, Lauren Pope, and have just announced a collaboration with Made in Chelsea star Binky Felstead. Ellen Kelly. Stephen Kelly began a career as a freelance journalist in his second year while still doing the course here at university. And he says that's a great excuse for why he barely scraped a 2-1. He first worked for Enemy magazine as their Liverpool correspondent before realising that music doesn't have any cool fight scenes in it. What about the Gallagher brothers, anyway? Moved into writing about TV and film instead. He's since written about those for The Guardian, The Independent, The Telegraph, Wired, Total Film, SFX, Sci-Fi Now, and best of all, Doctor Who magazine. He's currently mixing up freelancing with articles on mental health and a part-time role at the Radio Times, where he mostly spends his time writing about Daleks. He's definitely not written this himself. Isn't Richard Rudin nice, though? Right, thank you very much for that, Stephen Kelly! You don't know who that was, do you? And finally, last but definitely not least, Katie Upton, and Katie is Communications Manager at Jobs, Friends and Houses CIC. She graduated from LJMU in July 2012 with a first in journalism. Started out on the Blackpool Gazette, my local paper, just 4 days later. Her local paper, that is to say, I forgot to change that. Here she covered everything. It's not my local paper. From murder trials to school scandals, joined the circus for the day and went on police raids. She also worked as an education reporter and later health reporter. In 2014, she was invited to sit on the local branch board of a national charity Variety, and she's also volunteered at a local youth club. In July this year, she left the Gazette to join a new social enterprise, Jobs, Friends and Houses, also in Blackpool, as communications manager. Here she works side by side with ex-offenders and recovering drug addicts. That's Katie Upton. Okay, now I've got a couple of questions I'd like to just put to all of them. After that, it's kind of a bit of a free-for-all and a bit of a bum fight. But I'm going to ask all in turn. Just the first one, I thought, when you left university, I'm guessing you probably weren't hugely confident perhaps on all the things that you've been required to do as a journalist. And I just wondered, What was the thing that's most surprised you that you've had the confidence or obtained the confidence to do that you never thought you would have, Angie?
I did find that when I worked on a newspaper, I never expected to use my video skills and stuff, but when I had to, I was so excited that I knew what I was actually talking about. Because I was a multimedia journalist, I kind of just expected just to be writing on the website or doing print. And then he was like, oh, will you go film this? And I was just like, I think I know how to do that. And it's really like, it gave me a bit of confidence knowing that we did all the different mediums in uni. And as well, sort of being able to say, oh, I did this on the website and stuff. So I think just having the confidence to just go and do everything and just kind of be thrown in at the deep end, it's not actually as scary as it sounds. You know, you just have faith, I guess, in what you've been taught.
Can you remember really messing anything up? Because I always find it really gives people confidence if you tell them all the, because we always concentrate on the great successes, which is fabulous. But I think it's much more reassuring when you tell people all the mess ups you made.
I just remember one now, just off the top of my head. I had to do an interview with, he was a Formula One driver, I can't remember his name now, and he basically did a big interview with him, and I was so chuffed to have got it. And then I realised the sound wasn't on the camera. And I was just like, oh my God, what am I going to do? So I just sort of messed about with it, told him it had broke, got my phone out, and thankfully I had quite a good phone, and just filmed it in like the HD quality and just prayed it came out okay. And then I just sort of edited a little bit when I got back and it was fine. But thankfully he was dead nice. Jackie Stewart, that was it.
Ooh, right.
He was dead nice though. And like, I didn't get to sit in his car and stuff because he felt bad for me. So he was dead good. But I think if something goes wrong, I think the best thing to do is not panic, because I'm like queen of panic. I just go bright red panic and just start saying silly things, a little bit like now. And I just sort of went, oh look, I'm really sorry, but the cameras just broke on me. So it's like my first 2 weeks in the job. Can I just do this again, ask you a couple of the main questions? And I did the whole thing again. I think I was there for about half an hour with him just chatting. It's fine. I think just, you kind of just got to be cheeky. I think that's kind of a good way to get out of things. Just be cheeky and you'll be surprised. He just takes you up on it.
And nobody ever found out about you hadn't...
You have now.
well, yes.
I think I told my editor a couple of days before I left. No one really noticed. They just thought, why is she getting it off the phone instead? But luckily, the place where you did that wasn't in the newsroom. So
always have a plan B. Spare mic, some means
battery,
of recording, something.
And a flip cam, just in case
as well. It's so easy just to slip in the pocket now. It's very, very good advice. Sam?
The one thing I didn't think is obviously that horrendous clip that you heard. I didn't think I could do any presenting, because... I specialised in TV and then went into radio because I'd done my work experience there and freelanced after that. The thing I didn't expect to do was present on air, which is actually easier than anyone ever says it is. It was enjoyable. That was the thing I didn't expect from graduating from here.
And you really obviously take to that because you want to push that.
Yeah, it's good fun. It's the music side of things introducing is a good brand. It's a good part of BBC Music, and it's fun.
Yeah, and that's on every BBC local station, isn't it? That show variants of it, obviously, to play local bands and so on. There's one on Merseyside here, and I think they're all on the same time.
Yes, it is. 8 o'clock on Saturday.
8 o'clock Saturday night, and obviously it's available to listen again for a month. So yeah, it's a really good idea. And then what do you think? What was the thing that you most... when you look back at it, you thought, I never thought I'd be doing that.
I don't think I thought I would have the confidence to set up my own business. I started out in PR and I enjoyed doing it, but I didn't mind doing it for someone else. But I think you get thrown in at the deep end so much in PR, you're left to do a lot of the running of accounts yourself. So it just kind of made sense to make the jump, really.
Have you got anybody, families in small business? I mean, did you have anybody you can ask about setting all that up?
No, not really.
You do double entry bookkeeping. It's all done on computer software now. I mean, it is a heck of a risk. I mean, it must have felt quite the first day.
It was kind of scary, but it kind of made sense at the same time, because I was kind of doing it for someone else, so I might as well have been doing it for myself.
Right, okay. And are you going to tell us any gossip while you're here? Could we tempt you? Or lure you into... I'll ask you another question which isn't anything to do with that. And then just see if we can drag it down, because that's what we do. We're really sneaky. Stephen, now, I mean, you've taken up... I mean, the loves you were writing about now, if I remember correctly, you were loving when you were here.
Yeah, I mean, I liked music, but I was a massive nerd underneath it. So kind of
really?
Yeah, surprisingly. But in terms of confidence and stuff, I think being able to talk to another human being without having a breakdown was a good one. And, you know, doing interviewing and progressing up to interviewing to having blazing rows with PRs is a nice
thing. No, represented on the panel tonight. Right?
Yeah.
And so getting close to the Daleks then, what's that like? I mean, do you call them at the top of the stairs and just to goad them or anything?
They are literally just a load of wood. They're not real, Richard. At all.
My goodness. You're going to have to rethink everything.
The TARDIS is cool though.
Yeah.
Very cool. They are literally what they are on TV. Yeah.
So, I mean, this thing, I mean, this is a serious point about, you know, talking to strangers, which a lot of people do. In fact, I was just talking about this to some of my tutor group here. I mean, how did you get over that? I mean, how did you get over thinking, you get to speak to somebody, I don't know them, I don't know what their reaction's going to be, they might slam the phone down, they might tell me to off. How did you get over that?
Being put in a position where if you didn't do it, you would be fired is a really good way of motivating yourself. Before that, though, it was just pure will. You just had to do it or fail your course, I suppose. But you just have to get through it.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised, I think, once you're in a really high-pressured environment, what you are capable of actually doing, which isn't breaking down, apparently.
Oh, and I wonder if that getting too much of a distraction is that social media is not really helping with this. Because they've been doing a thing on Channel 4 News about the impact of social media, and they took, I think it was Tuesday night or Wednesday night, they took the phones off three early teens girls, 48 hours. See how they cope without any without the smartphones or anything at all, and they had to stop playing Monopoly. And she said, "Well, I don't know what I'll do when I get to the train station because I normally look down at my phone, and now I feel I've got to stare at people because I've got my phone to stare down at." And it worries me that it might actually become more difficult to do that thing and getting the eye contact and the confidence to actually talk to people when people are more used to contacting them on social media.
Maybe, but people still talk to each other in real life.
Those girls didn't seem to until they had to.
We're not,
but they were young.
We're not in Black Mirror yet.
Not quite. No, maybe not. Okay. Well, it's a point for discussion. We'll know that. Come back to. Okay, Katie, what did you think you'd never do, be able to do?
I think with hindsight, I don't think I thought I'd leave journalism, and I didn't know if I'd have the confidence to, because it's what I trained to do, and it's what I'd wanted to do since I was so young. And then I did, and it was a bit of a cathartic moment, actually. Mm. Of like, oh, I can actually do something else. It doesn't matter that. So, I thought that because I'd done a straight journalism degree, that's just what I'd do. But you realise actually, it does set you up for a lot more for doing a lot more.
Absolutely, the transferable skills. Anything in particular that you thought was really useful in doing a job that wasn't journalism, but you learnt on the course.
That thing of just being able to talk to anyone and everyone, and that sort of the curiosity that pretty much every journalist has, I think does stand you in good stead for a lot of jobs. And being able to write, because I think you realise loads of people say that they can't write. So when you say that you can, they're like, oh, can you write? And it's not difficult because we all do it. But I think just having general writing skills and people skills is... they're just sort of basics of life that people seem to be impressed by.
And being able to write for different media, of course, and changing the styles. And obviously not everybody is kind of throws themselves into everything, and not everybody's good at everything. But is there anything on the course, looking back at it through the mists of time, you think, if I was 18 again now and starting the course, I would pay more attention to?
Shorthand. Yeah. Oh gosh, when I was here, I remember everyone just saying, you need to have shorthand, and I was like, you're good. And then I got to the newspaper, and I was like, I really need shorthand. And I was only on, I think I was 60 words a minute, and I was trying so hard to get up. And even by the time I left, I still hadn't got up to like 100. I find it personally so difficult, shorthand. And I was in court, like reporting on this really scary sort of, it was like a gang trial about like conning loads of old people, and I was there writing it all down as fast as I could, because obviously I couldn't do shorthand very well, and I had their family behind me, and I could hear him saying things like, oh, I wonder what she's writing, and I was like, you can probably read it, because it's just a word, and I was just stressing out so much, so I think...
Just like the first letter of every word.
Oh, yeah, and I started making my own up, so I stopped drawing pictures, and then I get distracted, and that's probably why I'm still not on newspapers anymore, but... I remember when I left, I thought I probably would have stayed longer if I'd known shorthand, because it makes you more relaxed knowing that you've not got a constant battle every day. So yeah, definitely shorthand.
And then if you're able to record stuff, it's just so much quicker, isn't it? You just be able to go click through your notes.
Yeah, even in what I'm doing now, so I'll have a phone call or an interview to do on the phone, and then you can just write down what they're saying, but now I have to sort of like, hang on 2 seconds, I'm just typing it all out. And it would help, shorthand. It's just like, I think it's gold dust.
It's tea line gold dust.
Yeah.
Sam, go on. One thing here we should pay more attention to.
Media law is always a good one. Yeah. Obviously, you have modules on that. But keeping up to date with things like McNays, like we use those. They're on every desk in Shropshire. Not the up to date ones. We'll get around to that. But yeah, that's one of the important things. Like, I'm doing media law training this week back at work, because it's a refresher that everyone has to do. And I suppose
this is an online thing that I have to do.
Part of our assessments and in training and things, like ongoing stuff. And I suppose the other thing is the website. I could have done more with the website. And I think, looking back through, as you said, the mist of time, I could have done more. I was doing videos and then just palming them off, really. And I could have took them all the way to the homepage, to the front page, and done more and been more of a sort of video journalist in that respect. And you've got a really great website, you know, and it has always been, you know, really good. And it had its clattery bits at first, but it's so good now. You've got such a gift in that. If you don't do anything else, getting involved in that extracurricular sort of website would be just helpful, because then you can go into an employer and say, oh yeah, I know that online bit, I know that video bit, I know how to write, I know how to record audio and edit it. You know, you'll need to do everything, you know, when you're done.
Because your station isn't even Radio Shropshire anymore, is it? It's just like BBC Shropshire.
Well, so
the
radio's still in there. They've got a little TV studio for when we link up with politicians and local councillors and things, or if they need to use that particular studio. We have video journalists that come in now more than ever. And obviously we've got online, and we've got local live now. I don't know if you know that. Shropshire's just got that. They've just secured somebody to do that, which is a rolling sort of thing that'll be on the Shropshire homepage. It's a lot like what newspapers are doing already in terms of their social media, but you know, the BBC are doing a lot with that, and they're rolling it out across all the regions. So it's an important thing, like social media. It's like Twitter, but for the BBC.
It is really good. The Merseyside one actually is really good, and so definitely when you're going for those jobs. They're saying, well, could this guy do this? Could he do that? Could he do that? Tick, 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 tick. The more you can tick.
Actually, that was the one thing I felt like I got out of this course, is when I went to do experience, they said, do you know this software? And you're like, yeah, do you know this software? And it's like, yeah, because that's all here for you to play with.
Yeah. Excellent. Go on.
I think probably for me, the PR module that we did, because at the time I was interested in it, but I didn't know that's what I wanted to do. So I think if I'd got a bit more involved in that, it would have prepared me a bit more, because, like I said before, it was very much in the deep end in my first PR job.
So go for it. And that's one of the specialisms you did. So just kind of gain the extra mile, doing the extra bit,
I wish I listened to John Matthews more.
That's the thing that you say.
You see, I was trying to say that, but I didn't want to say which that. Is not a sentence I thought I'd ever say. I didn't really pay much attention to the online module. And apparently online's big now. So
even for Hooverings.
Learning the language of online is quite important, although I imagine you lot are of a generation that's not that, you know, strange. It was quite strange a few years ago. It's weird. No, but you see how different everything is now.
from what it was even like a few years ago. Yeah. Things changed so drastically.
Social media things have changed.
Like even in Radio Times at the moment, we have a website and a magazine, and on the website, the people getting hired are the people who can do more than one thing. So, you know, they can build a feature, they can build a new story, but they can also code little bits into it, they can Photoshop bits into it, they can, you know, contribute to the podcast, all this sort of thing. And, you know, it's not like that everywhere, but it will be soon. Mm. Another thing as well is I wish I read more, like not just journalism books, but all books, because I feel like journalism's all well and good to learn, but you need to actually specialise in something and to know stuff. You need to know shit, I think, to actually write about it, which is really a basic piece of advice, but like, just read. Like, if you want to go into sport, read about sport, know about sport. If you want to read the music, read the autobiographies, draw upon, you know, an anecdote that a Cohen once said or something. But, you know stuff, be different, because it's really tough to get in now, and you have to draw upon some specialised form of knowledge, or you're
going to
fail.
Because most people start on a more general kind of news outlet of some kind, and you never know what story is going to come across your desk, do you? Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, you know, if you're specialising in something, you've got to know it inside out. That's how you stand out. But also, yeah, just the general knowledge.
Yeah.
And, you know, being able to draw upon literary stuff. And also journalism books, you probably should read those as well.
About journalism, or written about the sort of business of journalism, or
just anything that you tell them to read.
Everything that's on the reading list, you've got to read it all for money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd agree with Sam. Law. I wish I'd listened more in that, because when you're actually in a court case and they say something that you think, what? I don't know what that means. I'll just write it down anyway. And then if you come back and you go trying to decipher what's just happened, or I remember my first inquest I covered, I had no idea what was going on. I just wrote everything down. When I got back to the office, I had a little cry about the fact that someone had died some horrible death. And then one of my colleagues helped me write it. And I was like, oh, is that what happened? Because I just didn't understand what was happening. But then once I'd done my seniors and I'd revised my law, I was in a court case where the judge or someone said, oh, you can't, a child had died, and he said, oh, you can't name the child for whatever reasons. And if you've ever been to a court and everyone's got the wigs on, they're pretty much all male and pretty old, and when you're there as a young woman and you're like, excuse me, I can't do that, and it's a bit like, I'm just some stupid journalist, like, and it's quite cool thinking, like, oh, I actually know stuff. So
I mean, that takes a lot of guts to do that, doesn't
it? Yeah, because it was really scary.
Yeah.
But when I think it was that, it was something to do with the child, and they just said something nonsense, and it was like, no, you can't do that. That's not legal. So, so definitely listen in law, because it's what's the law.
And you can also just be, never mind in a courtroom where the full majesty of the law is on display. But you could be interviewing somebody and they might just say something, you think, hang on a minute, can we say that? So we have to draw things to a conclusion. I think you must agree that our panellists have been very open, honest, as well as being generous with their time and coming up here today and giving you fantastic insights. This is the stuff you can only hear from, if you'll pardon the expression, the horse's mouths. And we really must thank them so much for coming and doing this. Thank you all very much.
From Liverpool, good night.